Well, hey, everyone, I'm Pastor Judd Wilhite, and I want to thank you for joining us today. You know, Central's a place where it's okay to not be okay, and we are so glad that you're here. I hope you enjoy this message.
All right. Welcome. Thanks for being here. It's good to see everybody on our 4th of July week. I love this week. It's one of my favorite holidays of the whole year. It's just one of those weeks that I'm just full of so much gratitude, mainly for our freedom. Can we give it up really big for the men and women of our armed services? We all know that freedom doesn't come free, and we just can't say it enough how grateful we are for it. But I'm also, this is one of my favorite weeks because I feel so inspired and so motivated, and I wanted to bring some of that inspiration to you today. So I have a video of some clips from a kid who goes by the title Kid President, and he's got some words, some motivation for us on how we can change the world. Check this out.
There are lots of ideas how you can change the world. Some people think you should just complain about it. That won't change the world, it'll just make it mad. Some people think you have lots of money. Make it rain everywhere you go. Holla for a dollar. Other people choose to just make fun of everything. That's dumb. Everyone's dumb. Some people see the bad in the world and they just decide to ignore it. But that won't help anything.
This kid's amazing. You got to go check out Kid President on YouTube. He gets it, right? He gets leadership. Make a great president someday. But in the Bible, God chose many leaders to change the world. And it wasn't for their power, their status, their money, but it was for their faith. And we've been in a series called Keep the Faith, where we've been learning from the great people of faith found in Hebrews 11 and how we can follow in their footsteps. And today we get to learn from one of the greatest leaders ever, Moses. And his faith, it really started from the beginning with his parents' faith. So we're going to be in Hebrews 11 today, and we're going to start with verse 23. Now, when we get to the red word, say that out loud with us. But we get to see what Moses' faith, what his parents' faith looked like. It says, it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an what? Unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. So what was the king's command? Well, Moses was born when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. And there was an evil Pharaoh that commanded that all the Hebrew boys be thrown into the Nile River. He was trying to diminish the Hebrew population. But Moses' parents knew that God had given them a special child with a purpose. They had an unusual child. Some translations would say that they had a beautiful baby. And if we're honest, every parent thinks that their baby is beautiful. Every parent thinks their baby is special. But Moses' parents, they placed their faith in God. They knew that God, he didn't want all the Hebrew infant boys to be killed. They knew that wasn't in his character. And what a gift to Moses that his parents would have such faith to go against Pharaoh, to risk their lives to hide him for 3 months. Can you imagine how hard of a task this would be? Parents, you know, especially parents to newborns, you get that it would be impossible to hide a newborn baby for 3 months because babies cry, babies fuss, babies make noise. That's just what they're to do. Like that's their only role. In fact, a children's hospital put out the top questions that parents to newborns have. The number one question, how do I get my baby to sleep through the night? They're awake, they're crying, they're up all night. Number two question was, I can't get my baby to stop crying, what do I do? More to do with crying. Now, the number three question was, why is my baby's poop this weird color? That doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about today. I just thought it was interesting it was number three. Really should be number two. You'll get that later. But parents of newborns know the struggle. Babies cry. They only sleep for a few hours at a time. But Moses' parents, they had a bigger problem. And that's that Pharaoh, this evil Pharaoh, wanted to kill their baby boy. So they hid him for 3 months, trusting God's plan. And that's a miracle that I feel is up there with some of the greatest miracles in the Bible. The fact that they could have the faith to hide a baby. And after 3 months, they couldn't hide him anymore, so they put him in a basket and they floated him down the Nile River. The very same river that Pharaoh had commanded these baby boys be thrown into. Just think about the faith it took to even place him in that river. And they put him in a basket of sticks and pitch, and the Bible calls it an ark. Which I think it's interesting because the last time I was up here with you, we were talking about Noah, the great man of faith that he was, and God saving Noah and his family from the flood with an ark, and now God is saving Moses from Pharaoh with an ark as well. Is this coincidence? I don't think so. And so Moses is floating down this river in this ark, in this little basket. It drifts down to where Pharaoh's daughter was bathing. She would come to the same place in the river on this same day and time. So Moses' mother was very intentional when she released her child, hoping that that's where he'd end up. And he floats up towards Pharaoh's daughter. She hears this crying baby. I like to think this baby that had never really cried before, that God just gave him an extra little pinch right there to get Pharaoh's daughter attention. And then she hears this baby boy. She goes and looks in this basket, and she sees this crying baby boy, and the Bible tells us she has compassion for him, that she decides to adopt him. And she adopts him, but she can't care for him. She can't nurse him. So she sends for a Hebrew woman that can care for the baby, that can nurse the baby. And who do they end up bringing back? Not knowing her title, her position, it was Moses' mother. So here Moses' mother is, her faith allows her to release her baby, and now she's getting the opportunity to take care of her baby, to nurse her baby, and she's getting paid to do it. Some of you moms, you're thinking, where do I sign up for this deal? How do I get paid for what I do? And I don't think we could afford you moms. But yeah, give it up for moms and not being able to afford them. So thankful for you. But Moses goes on to live for 120 years in what scholars would break into three different phases. Some of you Taylor Swift fans, you might call these eras. You Swifties know them as eras. They're 40-year phases. Moses' first phase was 40 years as a prince in Egypt. And then his next 40 years was a shepherd in Midian. And then his final phase, his final 40 years, was a leader of Israel. D.L. Moody, he summed it up like this. Moses spent the first 40 years thinking he was a somebody. He spent his second 40 years learning he was a nobody. And he spent his third 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. By faith, God turned a somebody into a nobody, into his instrument, a leader of God's people. So what does it take for us to embrace our leadership era? Now, we may think that leadership is something that only applies to people who have a lot of power or authority. People that have a lot of influence. But the truth is, we're all leaders in one way or another. We all have a sphere of influence, whether it's our family, our friends, our coworkers, our community. We all have a responsibility to use our gifts and use our talents for God's good. And most importantly, we have a responsibility to lead ourselves. We have to make everyday choices that reflect our values, our goals, and our faith. We have to be willing to learn from our mistakes, to grow from our challenges, and to trust in God's guidance. Leading by faith means leading the way God wants us to, not the way that culture has taught us to. So how does God want us to lead? Well, today we're going to explore this question, and we're going to look at the life of Moses to do so, one of the most influential leaders in the Bible. And what we're going to see is the key to becoming a better leader of ourselves and a better leader of others. It's not about having more power, more knowledge, more skills. It's not about being in charge. That's what people usually think. Being a leader means you're in charge. No, being a leader is remembering that God is in charge. Being a better leader requires faith and surrender, and that's what we're going to learn from Moses today. We're going to see how he overcame his fears by trusting God's promises, how he listened to God's voice and aligned his actions with God's plan. We're going to see how he became a leader who made a difference. And we're going to see how we can follow that same example. Moses teaches us how we can lead by faith. But it all comes down to one thing. And that's choices. Choices. Choices that reveal our heart. Choices that reveal our character. And ultimately, choices that determine our destiny. The choices we make today will shape who we become tomorrow. So let's dive into the story of Moses. Let's discover the choices he made that determined his destiny to lead God's people. And the first choice that we're gonna see Moses made was to choose a new allegiance. Every year on the 4th of July, our family has this tradition called the Bodine Family Olympics. And it's where we break into four teams. It's me, my wife, my kids, my parents, my siblings, my nieces, my nephew, friends of the family. We break into these four teams and we compete in these Olympic style events that just really show off your athletic abilities. Events like we put one of our teammates in the center of a circle, we put a shaving cream wig on their head, and we all try to throw as many Cheetos into that shaving cream wig in under 60 seconds that we can. It's just true athleticism at its finest. And we call that event Washington's Wig. And we have five or six other events throughout the day where we compete in these four teams. And this one year in particular, when we made the teams, all of a sudden my youngest daughter, Cosette, she comes running up to me crying. These big alligator tears. She's like, "Daddy, I saw the teams and I'm not on your team. I'm on Uncle Jake's team. And I want to be on your team because you're going to win." Like, she knows. She gets it. She knows what team to be on. And I'm a sucker for alligator tears. And so I make this deal with Jake, this trade. I trade one of my nieces or nephews to get Cosette onto my team. And we make the trade happen. And we go throughout the day. We compete in these events. And then at the end of the day, it's time to announce the winners. We have a whole medal ceremony and everything where we have a bronze, silver, gold medal. And so third place is announced, the bronze medal. And it's not my team, which is a good thing. We weren't going for third. We're going for first. So second place is announced, the silver medal. Still not my team. We're on the right track. And finally, first place is announced, the gold medal. Still not my team. We got last place that day. And in a surprising twist, it was Uncle Jake's team that took first place. And Jake, he is not the type of person you want winning first. He's going to remind you for the next 10 years of your life that they took first place. But there's this whole medal ceremony. We Are the Champions is playing on the speaker. There's high-fiving and celebrating on this makeshift podium. My mom's hanging these fake gold medals around each one of his teammates' necks. And at the very end of the line, standing up there getting a gold medal hung around her neck is Cosette. And I'm like, "Cosette, you were on my team." She looks back at me. She goes, "Shh, this is the team I was supposed to be on." As if I'm the one who decided to trade her from that team. But she's smart, always finding a way, no matter what, to be on the winning team. But Moses found himself in a similar position. But it didn't look like he was moving from a losing team to a winning team. From appearances, it looked like the opposite, because Moses had it all. He's the son of the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He's handsome, he's smart, he's rich, he's powerful. He's a prince in Egypt. Jewish historians would say that he was the successor to Pharaoh's throne. But then look what he does. Look what he ends up doing in verses 24 and 25. It says, "It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up," what? "Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin." So Moses gave it all up. He chose a new allegiance. Why? Well, it's because he found out he was a Hebrew. God reminded Moses who he actually belonged to. And then Moses, he went to see his people. He saw firsthand their suffering, but he also saw their faith. And he felt God calling him to a different destiny. So he gave it all up. All the riches, all the power, all the perks of being crowned the prince in the palace of the most powerful man on the planet. God revealed to Moses a new place to put his allegiance. And Moses knew he needed to choose what was right over what was convenient or what seemingly benefited him more. And what about us? Where is our current allegiance? Do we choose what's right over what's convenient or beneficial? Do we listen to God's conviction in our hearts? Do we follow God's plan for our lives, or do we just end up following our own plan? Do we identify with God's people more than we do with our culture? And these aren't easy questions to answer, because to do so often requires faith and courage. But maybe it's time. Maybe it's time for a new allegiance. Maybe for some of us, we need to break our allegiance to relationships or friendships that have proven to be bad or destructive for us. Maybe it's time to break our allegiance from a job or career that's turning us into a person that we don't feel called to be, no matter how good the money is. Maybe we need to break our allegiance to this idea of trying to be the cool parents and set healthy boundaries for our kids. Maybe it's time to break our allegiance from hangups that we've given a foothold in our lives for too long. Whether it's a bad habit we haven't been able to break, it could be gossip, anger, codependency, numbing, self-harm, addiction. Maybe we need to break our allegiance to society's standards of success and start looking to God's word to be reminded of his measure for success. You show who you belong to by what you do. Your life is the result of the everyday choices that you make. And choosing what's right requires sacrifice, but I promise you it's worth it, because God has a greater reward for us than this world can ever give us. So choose to lean into your convictions. Do what's right. Put your allegiance on where and what God is calling you to. Then the next way we can learn to lead with faith is to choose a new adventure. Adventures can be both good and bad, right? Meaning an adventure and going on an adventure doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have fun. Did anybody else ever read those Choose Your Own Adventure books as kids? Maybe you still are reading those Choose Your Own Adventure books because they're so incredible. I love them. I love them as a kid. It's these books where you would start on this journey as you went through the pages reading, and then all of a sudden you would come to a page where there would be a crossroads. There would be a fork in the road, and you had a decision to make. The page would say something like, on your expedition, on your journey, you stumble upon a dark cave. To enter the cave and explore, turn to page 14. If you want to go the long way around the cave, turn to page 21. Well, I was always a risk taker. I'm like, I want to know what's in that cave. I've got to see it. I've got to read about it. What's in the cave? We're going in the cave. I'm turning to page 14. Turn to page 14. It reads, you've entered the dark cave. You've awakened an angry bear. He eats you. You're dead. The end. Like, knew I should have gone the long way around. But the great thing, the beauty of these Choose Your Own Adventure books was that the story didn't have to end. You could just open it right back up, and the next time, choose a new adventure. Next time, choose to go around that cave. Don't turn to page 14. Page 14's bad. Rip page 14 out. But Moses knew what his current adventure looked like ahead. He could foresee it, he could feel it, and it didn't feel right. So he decided to choose a new adventure, to embrace his identity as one of God's children. And he did this because he was looking at God's long-term plans over man's short-term gains. It says in verse 26, he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great what? Reward. His reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Moses made a radical choice. He gave up his privileged life in the palace and embraced the pain of his people. God called Moses out of Egypt to call the Egypt out of Moses. He left behind the riches of Egypt, and he endured Midian for 40 years. And Midian was not a vacation spot. Midian was a barren wasteland in the middle of the desert. I know a lot of us here in Vegas, we know what heat is like. We know what the desert's like. But take away the houses, take away the freezing temperature hotels in the summer, take away the swimming pools, your margarita or pina colada by the pool. Take all that away. Have nothing but tents. That's Midian. It's the middle of the desert. It's hot. But Moses found something precious in Midian. He found his true family. And earlier in verse 25, it told us that he chose to suffer with God's people. He reconnected with his true identity. And I wonder, how do you think his mom, his adoptive mom, Pharaoh's daughter, how do you think she felt when Moses came to her and said, "Mom, I'm out of here. I'm moving out. It's time for me to move out, to go on my own, to choose a new adventure." She's like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "I'm going to the desert to live in the heat in the middle of nowhere in slave camps." She had to think he was crazy. She probably thought he was ungrateful. But Moses chose a new family. And maybe you're here today and you can relate to that. Maybe you've had a similar experience when you decided to go in God's direction. And it takes a lot of courage to tell your parents, your siblings, your friends that you started a new adventure, that you started following Jesus, and that you have a new spiritual family, a new church family. And maybe you heard things like, "Oh, we raised you your whole life to be Catholic or to be Mormon or to be Hindu or to be an atheist. We brought you up in this church and in this way. Why would you do this to us? We're family." And it takes a lot of faith, just like Moses, to say, "Thank you. Thank you for what you did. I'm grateful. I love you. I'll always love you. But yes, God has called me to a new path, a new spiritual family." And if that's where you're at right now, I want you to know you're not alone. You're surrounded by a church family full of people who have been right where you are, and we're here for you. We want to walk with you as closely as you'll choose for us to walk with you. Our goal is to be there for you as a family, and some of the best ways for that to happen is for you to jump into community right here at Sun Central. Jump into a group opportunity. At all of our locations, there are plenty of ways for you to get involved and be surrounded by the support and the love of a true spiritual family. But Moses chose to embark on a new adventure into the wilderness where he spent 40 years with a new spiritual family, but he also spent 40 years with a new struggle because he had to learn the lesson of hard work. He became a shepherd, which this would end up preparing him for what God would call him to lead the Israelites out of captivity. But Moses, he knew the cost of his choice. And he made it willingly. This is unlike other biblical heroes who faced suffering. They faced suffering, but they didn't ask for it. Moses chose to suffer with God's people. Joseph didn't ask to be hated by his brothers and sold into slavery. He was forced into it. Daniel didn't ask to be thrown into a den with lions. He was forced into that den. Jonah, he didn't ask to be thrown into the water and swallowed by a big fish in the belly of a fish. He was forced into that situation. But for Moses' circumstances, he chooses suffering. He chose to follow God's call to a new adventure, even if it meant hardship and pain. Which is a reminder that sometimes God invites us to join him on an adventure, and it's not going to be easy or fun. Sometimes he asks us to choose the desert over the comforts of the palace, the sacrifice over the convenience. And he does this because he's shaping us. He's training us. He's preparing us for something greater than we can imagine. So there's times in our lives where we're going to have to choose sacrifice. Maybe for you, choosing sacrifice looks like caring for a loved one who needs your help in their final days. Maybe for you, choosing sacrifice is raising a child who's not biologically yours but needs your love and needs your guidance. Maybe for you, it's giving up on your dream job to support your spouse's career goals. Sacrifice for you could be forgiving someone who wounded you deeply and moving on with grace. Or maybe for you, choosing sacrifice is living with less so that others can have more. Whatever it is, when we say yes to God's adventure, even if it involves sacrifice, he's going to do amazing things through us. It may take 40 years or more, but he's going to be preparing us for something bigger, something that we can't see right now. That's how we can lead by faith and grow as leaders. Leadership is a gift for those who are generous enough to sacrifice for it. And the last thing we can learn from Moses, if we want to lead by faith is to choose a new assignment. I want to read you a story about a boy named James who came to a point in his life where he had to choose a new assignment. It says, James was a boy who had nothing but dreams. He was born in a log cabin in the middle of Ohio, where he and his family barely scraped by. He never went to school, but he had a hunger for knowledge. He taught himself how to read and write, and he devoured every book that he could get his hands on. He was only 16 when he left home to work on a canal boat, hoping to earn enough money to see the world. But his dreams turned into nightmares when he fell ill with malaria, a deadly disease. He survived, but he realized he needed a different path. So he decided to pursue a career in politics where he could make a difference in the lives of others. He studied law, he became a lawyer, he ran for office, and this self-educated boy from nowhere, Ohio, actually won. He had finally made a nobody into a somebody. But in his new position, he started to see firsthand the injustices around him. He used his vote and his voice to fight against slavery, the evil that plagued his nation. But his courage came at a cost. He lost his popularity, and he eventually lost his position. He was rejected by the people and his fellow politicians, but he didn't give up. He accepted his new assignment, and he was willing to sacrifice it all for the oppressed and the downtrodden. He kept on fighting. And on March 4th, 1881, James Abram Garfield became the 20th president of the United States. He had plans to protect the rights for all people, but sadly, his plan was cut short by a bullet. He died on September 19th, 1881, 6 months after finally getting to hold the highest leadership position in the world. But with only 6 months in office, he left behind a legacy of hope and progress. He inspired generations of Americans to strive for justice and greatness. He started from nothing, and he became something. Because James Garfield was a leader. He went from a nobody to a somebody that used his position to try to help everybody who was faced with an injustice. And for Moses, he had it all. He was raised in the palace of Pharaoh. He had wealth. He had power. He had privilege. Moses was a somebody in the eyes of the world, but he decided to give it all up. He chose to identify with his own people, the Israelites, who were slaves and oppressed. He chose to be a nobody for the sake of God's call. And he spent 40 years in the desert learning to trust God and follow his ways. And at 80 years old, he was prepared for a new assignment to lead God's people out of bondage and into freedom. And God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? I mean, he chose to give Moses an assignment when he was an old outlaw in the wilderness, not when he was a young prince in the palace. And this just goes to show that no matter how old we are, God's assignments can come at any time. Moses obeys God's commands. He accepts his assignments even when they seemed impossible or risky. I mean, look at verses 28 and 29. It says, it was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and sprinkle the blood on the doorsteps. I'm sorry, I went right by the red word. I'm preaching. I'm sorry. So that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. Let's try this one. Let's do this faith. It was by what? Faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. These two verses show two huge assignments that Moses, he not only accepted, but he led by faith. And when it came to crossing the Red Sea, some commentaries, it'll tell us that the Egyptians had just as much, if not more, courage than the Israelites. But they didn't have the same faith, and each had different outcomes. Moses saw what others could not see. He saw God's power and presence. He saw God's plan and purpose. He saw God's reward and God's glory. He chose to sacrifice the temporary for the eternal. He chose to embrace God's adventure even when it meant hardship and pain. Now, Moses wasn't perfect. You can go read in the Bible that often Moses felt unqualified, inadequate, insecure. Feelings that I know a lot of us, myself, I can often relate with, but God tells him in Exodus 3:12, I will be with you. And because of his faith, he witnessed as a leader some of the greatest miracles in the Bible. I mean, just go in and read about Moses' journey in just 20 years. He witnessed the 10 plagues on the Egyptians, the parting of the Red Sea, the burning bush, the 10 commandments, the pillar of cloud and fire, the manna coming down from heaven, and so much more. He got to speak to God face to face. He had an intimate relationship with his creator. And he ended up being a leader like no other. And he did all of this by faith. Faith that moved him to change in allegiance. Faith that inspired him to sacrifice for an adventure. Faith that gave him the power to accept God's assignments, and faith that enabled him to serve God's people. When God gives you a new assignment, no matter how big or small it may seem, choose to accept it by faith. In fact, I've learned in my own journey to becoming a leader, in my own leadership journey, that God gives me bigger leadership opportunities when I accept the smaller assignments and faith. If God's inspiring you to lead out in prayer before your family eats dinner, maybe it's leading out in prayer before your friends are out to dinner, he's putting that on your heart, although it may seem like a small assignment, choose to accept it by faith. If God's nudging you to restore a broken relationship in your life, accept it by faith. If he's calling you to do something to improve your marriage, although it might seem impossible, accept it by faith. If he's challenging you to step out of your comfort zone, to serve others in a new way, accept it by faith. If God's opening a door for you to share your faith with somebody who needs it, accept it by faith. Every assignment from God is an opportunity to see his miracle. So even if you feel there's no way in the world that God would use you, accept his assignment that he's putting on your heart. Moses was a somebody who chose to become a nobody so that he could be a part of God's plan to save everybody. Because Moses, he points us to Jesus, who was the ultimate somebody. The Son of God, who left his throne in heaven, came down to earth to live an unassuming life amongst nobodies so that he could die on a cross, be put in a grave, but then defeat that grave, leaving anybody who believes in him to him forever with him, naming him their Lord and Savior. And if you've never done that, if you've never personally named Jesus your Lord, your Savior, by faith secured your own destiny, then I want to give you that opportunity right now. So if I could ask everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes. If you're ready to do that today, repeat these words after me, but talk to God from your own heart. Mean it in your own words. Just say, God, thank you for loving me. I know that I'm a sinner, but I also know that you sent Jesus to die for that sin. Died a death he did not deserve, but beat death and rose from that grave. I name Jesus my personal Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins, God. And by faith, help me face whatever challenges I might have ahead. If you've done that for the first time today, if by faith you've just named Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, with every head bowed, every eye closed, this is just between you and God and really acknowledging before me that you made that decision. If you just slip your hand up in the air, just have the courage and faith one more time, just acknowledge that you're gonna follow him. Thank you for those hands. This is a moment you're just dedicating your life for him, forever securing your fate and your eternity, your destiny. Thank you for those hands. God, I give you these hands, I give you these lives. I ask that you draw near to them in the coming days, be with them. Show them your path ahead for their lives. And for all of us in the room, Father, Help us just to continue to lead our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors, our community by faith. Help us look not only to Moses' example, but ultimately your example in Jesus. That's what true leadership looks like. That's what we want for our lives. We want that kind of faith. We give it all to you. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus we can pray these things. Amen.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, there are a couple of things that I'd love for you to do. Make sure to subscribe and review this podcast and connect with us on social media by following at Central Online. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Central. You can simply visit centralchurch.online/give and you can give a gift today. And thanks again for joining us on the Central Church Podcast.